Hi. My name is Bryce Erickson, and this is my lovely wife, Elizabeth. We have been married for about 8.5 years, and we have 3 children, a boy and 2 girls, 4, 3, and almost 2. There we are.
Hello. That was a year ago, because we've been too busy to get family photos. We're here today to testify to you about the journey of our marriage, but mostly about a generous, gracious, and patient God who continues to this day shape our hearts like clay and give us life, love, and laughter.
If you'd asked us at our wedding reception what we had thought we were getting into, you probably would have heard us say things like excitement, optimism, joy, well-laid plans, and certainly that we were going into this thing with our eyes wide open.
In hindsight, here are some of the words that have actually described our journey. Pride, depression, conflict, cancer, self-centeredness, self-pity, self-righteousness, people-pleasing, anger, forgiveness, grace, reconciliation, and finally, 3 kids in 2.5 years.
Today, God is teaching us to fan the flame, the gift of God, which does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Therefore, we are not ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, but we strive to suffer for the good news that is the gospel. 2 Timothy 1, 6-8. A little about me. I grew up in a Christian home that believed in God and the Lordship of Jesus and operated basically under the Judeo-Christian ethic. But on a relatively scale, I'd say that our household was more religious than most, but it wasn't one that was fully devoted to Christ either. My parents and brothers love me, and I'm grateful for my upbringing. I became a Christian before I was 10. I gained some great qualities from my childhood, such as a great education, a lot of practical knowledge and independence, personal humility that was born out of certain many trials, particularly during my junior high years. But I also took with my upbringing some other baggage, such as pride, self-sufficiency, and being a chronic people-pleaser. I also had a twisted understanding of conflict, and all of those demons would later come to haunt me in my marriage. I graduated from Richardson High School here locally in 1994, and later Baylor University in 1998, around the same time as Elizabeth.
I grew up in a Christian home right here in Dallas as well. I feel blessed. I knew from a very young age about Christ and his love for me. My mom and dad taught me lots of scripture and prayed for me and with me most every night. I have 2 older brothers, and so I'm the only girl. Because of my dad's work, we had the ability to travel, and I was introduced to many places from a young age. My younger years were marked with family fun, playing sports, and chasing my brothers around. But as I got older, that changed, and due to my brother's rebellion, some chaos entered our home. Much of the conflict stemmed from their lack of unity in how to parent my brother. During this time, there were arguments and yelling, and I had lots of fear, even sometimes crying in my room while they fought. I learned from my family during this time to hide our problems, to avoid conflict, and frankly, to please my parents by not becoming like my brother. My parents were just overwhelmed with the challenges. I felt some of my preteen issues paled in comparison to the addiction and rebellion of my brother. I learned to stuff my problems if it didn't seem big enough to merit their attention. Some of these early seeds of my depression struggles were planted during this time. These unhealthy patterns resurfaced, not surprisingly, in our marriage. I went on to Baylor University, and Bryce and I didn't know each other, but we graduated at the same time in 98. Upon graduation, I considered seminary, but instead had a detour and lived in Colorado for 4 years. Bryce and I met right before I began seminary in 2002 on a blind date, and we dated for nearly 2 years. We were both pretty guarded at first, but I knew before Bryce he was the one I wanted to be with. My depression was really kept at bay during this time, graciously, and we got married in June 2005.
The early years of our marriage were marked by joy and growth, mixed with frustration. It was a bit of a roller coaster. I had developed expectations that our marriage would flourish immediately, since we had checked certain boxes. 1, we were Christians. 2, we had waited till later in life to marry. And 3, we took premarital counseling. So therefore, we were set, right? I was wrong. We had learned a life lesson that was pretty well captured, I think, in an Ann Landers column. She said, "Getting a marriage license doesn't guarantee a good marriage any more than getting a fishing license assures you'll guarantee a good that you'll catch a fish. It just gives you the legal right to try." The seeds of pride, people-pleasing, and conflict avoidance that I'd mentioned earlier began to bear fruit. I got easily angered when Elizabeth did not meet my expectations and struggled in how to communicate with her. This led to a cycle of peace, buildup of anger and frustration, and resentment, leading to blow-ups, fights, and arguments, then retreat, usually by me, and no resolution, and then going back to the cycle again. This pattern dominated the first few years of our marriage. A good early example revolved around finances and kind of my internal psychological manipulation of her. Elizabeth was finishing seminary, which I had actually encouraged her to do. At the same time, I also wanted her to contribute more financially for our marriage through some sort of job. It was bad PR to say, hey, you can't go to seminary, you need to be working. I wanted to please her by appearing as an understanding and encouraging husband. My Jekyll and Hyde act emerged in our financial discussions and budget meetings as I would criticize her spending and then complain that we weren't saving enough. Elizabeth got mixed messages, and it would turn one way or another into conflict. This pushed us apart and contributed to her stress. I was also blind to the emerging signs of Elizabeth's growing depression. To say I was slow in the uptake was an understatement. That said, there was evidence of Christ in our lives, and he graciously resourced us with a great community over the years, people who were pivotal in our slow and stumbling growth. I remember seeing authenticity modeled for me multiple times by men in my community and thinking, man, I wish I had the guts and the discipline to act like that. However, I had not surrendered many of my areas of my life to Christ. I pridefully figured that I was good enough and compared myself with the worldly standards and not God's.
Crucial to my health struggles of fatigue and depression was consistent good sleep. Bryce snores. And this became a major struggle for me. I was miserable and getting no sleep. It was our first year of marriage, and the honeymoon phase wore off quickly. There were times when I just went into my closet and cried, wondering why I got married. I was scared to really reveal my feelings to Bryce. And the pattern of avoiding conflict crept into my marriage. I was fearful of disappointing him. After more sleepless nights, my clinical depression kind of erupted, and I went down pretty fast. I started sleeping in the other bedroom just so I could get a good night's sleep. I was angry at God, and I felt cheated. It was hard to have hope at this point. I was also just really sad for Bryce that this was the wife he got, the wife that he married. I felt really small and like I'd really let Bryce down. Depression was not new to me. It was a battle I'd been fighting, but the concept was foreign to Bryce. Some of our plans for my career had to be put on hold. Our foundation group this time was pivotal in helping us get through. They loved us well through physical needs. They modeled spiritual maturity, true and vulnerable accountability, and godly friendship in ways we'll never forget.
Things went on like this for a while. Years later, our marriage then took a turn for the turbulent in late 2008 when we were faced with another struggle. Elizabeth's depression, complications with our son's pregnancy, going into debt, and the disappearance of any and all margin that existed in our lives. For about a three-year period from late 08 through 2011, our lives seemed to be a constant intersection between joyous events, such as the birth of our children, and big crises in our lives. It was exhausting.
We decided to start a family in 2008, and we got pregnant right away. We found out 20 weeks in our pregnancy that we might have some major problems. They sent us to a specialist, and they were telling us our baby might not live. After many tests, many doctor's appointments, they could not conclude anything and told us to go home and enjoy the pregnancy. Difficult. Needless to say, it was extremely difficult. But I can say that this time was one of the most unifying for Bryce, as every night we opened up our Bible and prayed together for this child. We prayed for a miracle and God answered us. Benjamin was born March 2009 with only a small birth defect.
Great, right? Well, 2 days after we got home from the hospital, at 3 in the morning, Elizabeth started having unbearable back pain. We rushed to the ER with no choice but to bring our 5-day-old son Benjamin in tow. Elizabeth's kidney was bleeding, and as we later found out, it was due to a cancerous tumor. We were shocked, and by then, we were really tired and just sad. How could God be allowing this? Didn't he know that we were already taxed? We didn't deserve this, in my opinion. Not that that one matters. A little while later, her kidney had to be removed. We were in and out of the hospital for weeks, living mostly off the generosity from our community, family, and Chinese takeout. It stunk. We felt like victims to a big extent. But we got through it, and we went on, hoping and praying for some relief.
When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Isaiah 43:2-3. During these months and years, much of our interactions were subjected to the tyranny of the urgent. Our daughters, Lainey and Claire, were born 15 and then 18 months after Benjamin. I was seeking the Lord in short bursts for strength to get through the day, doing a Bible study, and I was really trying hard to choose joy, but sometimes I was just angry at Bryce and our circumstances. I think I had self-pity, and I was frustrated because I didn't feel understood. But once again, it was kind of all about me. I felt angry because I thought he knew or should have known how bad I was really struggling. I felt like he was watching me drown without throwing me a life jacket. In summer 2012, Bryce was swamped at work, which was a good thing for our finances, but bad for stability in the home. Claire's extended colic only made things worse. It was another adventure that stretched us to the limit with sleep deprivation and rawness. I was depleted physically, emotionally, and spiritually at this point. I was not doing a very good job of supporting Bryce and encouraging him. I resented his work, and it led to him probably wanting to be there more. Bryce typically didn't come home to a happy wife. Usually it was, why are you late? And by the way, here's a screaming kid to take care of.
Life was obviously still nutty at that point. In a strange sort of way, it felt like the old 80 movies Ghostbusters. There's a scene where they're trying to convince the mayor of New York, the biblical proportion of the ghost problem in the city, and Bill Murray goes in and says, human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria. That was our home. My response to Elizabeth on the outside mostly appeared as what a Christ follower would do. But inside our marriage, I took the role of a victim. I objectified Elizabeth instead of loving her heart. And I chose to see her depression instead of her. I thought to myself, why couldn't Elizabeth just buck up, roll up her sleeves, and be able to get things done around the house? A low point was when we started a fight, after listening to a sermon, no less, in front of our kids. It devolved into a screaming match with a few expletives thrown in for good measure. Nice. I made it all about me. Truthfully, I was a coward. Elizabeth needed my love and my support more than ever, and I found myself distancing from her and blaming her for my shortcomings. We knew we needed help when we didn't even like being around each other anymore. Finally, re-engage was suggested to us from friends who had been through it. I went reluctantly, looking for sympathy and someone else to point out her faults.
I entered Re-Engage, rating our marriage at like a 2 on the little form. I was fully pointing my finger at Bryce, just knowing he was the one who needed help, and thought the main reason we were there was because of him. Honestly, it took me a few weeks once we got in our group to see that my part was one of not encouraging and lifting Bryce up. Also, I really learned to speak up and not be silent when it was time to challenge Bryce or when I had my feelings hurt, or I would just stuff it. That's my job, to speak the truth in love, whatever it is. I wasn't always honest about how I was feeling, and that was not helping the health of our marriage. Also, I really had to confess my anger at Bryce and not being willing to give him the grace God had so beautifully given me. I also learned we needed to keep short accounts, and most of all, we're on the same team. God knew exactly who I needed as a husband, and he gifted me with Bryce. Most of all, I learned we cannot do it alone.
We were raw, hurt, and we were angry. When I was sitting right out there where you guys are, my pride was telling me, why am I here? I shouldn't be here. And I thought I was doing pretty good beforehand. It was embarrassing. It was tough sledding early. We regularly fought before, during, and after Re-Engage, as we unearthed some of this stuff. Strangely, instead of running from this cauldron of crazy, we found ourselves leaning into it. We gradually became believers in the notion that grace plus truth plus time equals change. God changes hearts when we're ready to align ourselves with him, and not vice versa. Within 6 to 8 weeks, nearly every couple in our group was starting to experience change. I think a reason for this was because we were ready to surrender to God, and we also might have been a little tired of fighting. In addition, the patience and authenticity of our leaders, the McEwens, fostered breakthrough and minimized wasted time hiding behind our appearances. If you're experiencing stagnation in your groups now, I would submit to you Proverbs 12:15 that says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. Which one are you? The Holy Spirit started moving through our group. We saw logs in our own eye, and our hearts grew, and we learned new things about each other after 7-plus years of marriage. God allowed my heart to receive unpleasant truths. I began to get a fresh new glimpse at Elizabeth's inner beauty. I saw what attracted to me in her in the first place, and I was once again taken by her. At the same time, Elizabeth's health began to be restored. Our kids started sleeping, and her heart began to soften as well.
Bryce and I experienced victory and joy through Christ's healing and the hard work of Reengage. We prayed and prayed, and early this year, God's blessed us with a new community group. We're thrilled to call them friends and be in the struggle together to follow Christ and have an authentic marriage. Thankfully, today, our hearts are more aligned more than ever, and our path has rarely been easy. But both of us have a desire to read Scripture and do what it says. We're doing our best to pursue one another, not perfectly. One of the greatest blessings now in our marriage is more emotional intimacy, just being each other's friend. My heart has been awakened, my deep love for Jesus, and my humility at his great love for me. I'm learning more to abide each day and thus think about Bryce more than I think about myself.
Philippians 2, 3 through 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, to each of you, but also to the interests of others. Our marriage is in such a better place. We've recognized God's grace and sought his word in love as opposed to the love of other people's opinions and the love of self. He is enough. We laugh a lot more. We quote funny movie lines and have fake mustache contests. We treasure our community of other people who love us in spite of our faults. When we conflict, and we do, we struggle together, grateful for the helper that he made us for each other. We're continually discovering how in our weakness he is strong. And that's how God glorifies himself constantly.
Oneness in marriage does not come easy, and it's not created overnight. There are hurts in marriage that can be easy to hold on to. But I will say there's freedom in confession, and there's freedom in forgiveness. When you start to practice this, God blesses it and builds oneness. This is a verse I've posted on my kitchen window to remind me. Colossians 3, 12 through 14. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity.
Hey, we don't know where you guys are at out there. Maybe you feel hopeless, angry, tired, betrayed, or worse. We did. I would just say to you that there is a God of hope who cares for you today, right now, right there in your seat. He's not a distant cosmic idea. He's real, and he's here. He weeps when we weep, and he rejoices when we rejoice. He heals, and he mends. He is enough, no matter where you're at. That's the hope that we cling to, and I hope you do too. Thanks for letting us share.